going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
I'm not exactly a tech genius, but I knew one thing for sure. If I wanted my small business to crush it, I needed a website that worked like a pro. And I needed it yesterday. Lucky for me, Bluehost made it ridiculously easy. With their AI design tools, building my website was a walk in the park. I could customize, optimize, and monetize everything exactly how I wanted. In just a few minutes, I had a secure site up and running. I couldn't believe how straightforward it was. And getting found online? Bluehost helped me with that, too. I perfected my keywords and meta descriptions with their search engine tools. The AI even gave me suggestions to improve my pages. Now I can sit back, relax, and focus on my customers, while my website continues to rank higher and higher on Google. With their 30-day money-back guarantee, I wasn't worried about taking the plunge, and now I'm so glad I did. Head over to Bluehost.com and build something special today.
Thank you for tuning into the Sports Ethos Mets podcast. As always, this is your host, Cody Mallory, on Twitter, at RealCodyMallory. I am delighted to be joined once again by Joe Farrow on Twitter, that is at the Joe Farrow, and Anthony Dittmar on Twitter, that is at Anthony Dittmar _. Guys, we finally reached the light at the end of the tunnel. The NBA trade deadline has finally come and gone. Before we get into the Mets, and obviously the biggest headline of the day, the week, however long, let's talk about the other trades that kind of went down in the league.
Okay.
Yeah, the Porzingis-Dinwiddie trade really stuck out to me. I remember Dinwiddie actually, when he was on the Nets, made a comment about like how when the Knicks traded him to the Mavericks, then he ended up getting traded for him. Kind of like a swap of bad-ish contracts, considering Dinwiddie's play this year. They also got Davis Bertans in the deal. I don't know what you guys thought about that deal.
I thought it was fine, honestly. Like, a lot of people made it out to be pretty bad. And, yeah, like, the Wizards got the better player, but that's really a last-ditch effort to retain Bradley Beal. And the Mavericks aren't going to change much when you think about it. They just add another ball handler in Spencer Dinwiddie. Sorry. And then they get a similar type player of Davis Bertans compared to Kristaps Porzingis. I really don't think it's that terrible. I mean, they're both very bad contracts, but this is just a last ditch effort to retain Bradley Beal for Washington.
There's no way they keep him, bro. Like, it's just like, it's sad. It's kind of bad.
Anthony, you hear Joe get all choked up about Spencer Dinwiddie, but when I first saw the trade, I was like, no way Spencer Dinwiddie's actually staying in Dallas. I was like, they gotta be moving him somewhere else. Maybe a 3-team deal hasn't been announced yet. I don't want to say buyout, but I was surprised that Dinwiddie got moved there. Yeah, he's definitely not going to get bought out. The contract's
too big and too long.
They wanted to – they had some contracts. I don't remember if when the Birds right got on. They said they wanted to extend Dorian Finney-Smith. They already had the Bad Hardaway contract. I think they want to also – Jalen Brunson is going to be tough to extend because he's going to get a big payday. But he was mentioning that, like, and taking the Porzingis deal kind of like cleared up some space for them, and they extended for Dorian Finney-Smith. I think it was 4-52, I believe.
Yep, you're right on that.
Yep, yes, sir.
So that's a good signing to get him locked in before the free agency period this summer.
Yeah. We haven't talked since the Kings Pacers trade, right?
No, we haven't.
Yeah, so Tyrese Halliburton goes to the Pacers. Domantas Sabonis to the Kings. Interesting.
What a bad trade. I don't know. I think the Kings smuggled a bag, trading the one guy that wanted to be a king for like his whole career. Pretty upset. No one wants to be a king. And like he kind of like was that one guy that did.
I couldn't agree more. It was just like Tyrese is so good. And it's like, yes, Domantas Sabonis is the better player as of right now. But, like, dude, like, by the end of next season, I could see Halliburton being better than Sabonis. Like, it's just, like, I feel like that was just a very dumb move to get rid of him. Like, if you could have done Davion Mitchell instead, I feel like that's a really good trade for the Kings, because then you still have Fox, Halliburton, and now you have Domantas Sabonis to add to that. But it's just, like, I feel like they definitely did fumble the bag, as Anthony said, by trading him.
I think they just wanted to get into the playoffs. They've missed the playoffs 15 straight years, the Kings. So they were just trying to, like, do whatever they can to get into the play-in tournament. It's a little not really good way to operate a team, to be honest, but I guess to each their own.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, that's as well.
That's all the big ones, right, besides what Sean Marks pulled off?
I mean, I just it's not big, but I was a little confused by the Bucks trade, getting Ibaka, getting rid of DiVincenzo. I think he's a underrated player, and I'm kind of the Bucks must be concerned that they aren't getting Brook Lopez back, because that's kind of what that trade was to get a front court player. But I don't know, that trade surprised me. It wasn't that big, not that important, but I just like to see what the Nets' main competition is doing, and I believe that is Milwaukee still. So I was surprised to see that trade go through.
I know the Nets are still the favorites, like, in the conference, but IMO, I think it's the Bucks conference to lose, like, considering everything that's happened. I'm not trying to be, like, a pessimist or anything, but considering the events of last year and looking at their roster right now, that's the way I see it. I don't know about you guys.
Before we get into the Nets roster now, we kind of got to go through the crazy-ass, what, 4 days, 3 days maybe we've all just gone through. So you had conflicting reports between Wendy and Woj. Obviously, both work for ESPN. You had some reporters saying the deal was going to happen. Then you had Woj basically saying they weren't even talking until this morning, when Woj's tone completely shifted at around, I think it was like 8 or 9 o'clock. And he said James Harden, like, made it clear that he didn't want to be there or whatever, and that he anticipated the Nets and Sixers to at least engage in conversation today. And then Woj dropped the bomb that James Harden did not want to be in the Nets anymore, but he didn't want to make a public or formal trade request because he was scared of public backlash. Before we get into the actual trade, what's your guys' thoughts on that? I think it honestly made him look worse, because
I was just about to
so
say,
so weak, bro. So weak.
He basically, like, didn't, he just gave up. Like, he wasn't trying. Everyone knows against the Kings when he scored the 4 points, he wasn't playing defense. He wasn't trying. So, like, I don't know, man. Honestly, if you don't want to be there, just man the fuck up and say it and get out. that's my take on it. Like, I honestly think he made himself look worse by not making that formal trade request, and he made the Nets really scramble at the end of the deadline, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think they, like, were, like, held hostage by the last few days, and, like, you had Nash, like, conflicting reports. You had guys, like, saying, like Patty Mills kind of making, like, comments, like, that were, like, kind of, like, hinting at things. I think, like, overall, I think the Nets could have made more deals. Like, I know, like, they were, like, at the deadline trying to get, like, Jeremy Grant or Miles Turner, but they really didn't have enough time to negotiate the deal properly because of this deal kind of, like, being held hostage. Like, I don't think in an ideal world Marks wanted to make a deal like this, but he kind of had his hand forced, where it's like, you want to let this guy walk for nothing in the summer. So I think that's what kind of caused the Nets not really to make another deal, because obviously, as we'll talk about the roster, like, there's a lot of, like, clunkiness at the center position and some other positions. And they had to cut Bembry, like we'll get to it, but they had to cut Bembry today because they really had too many players in the roster. Like, yeah. It kind of sucks.
Yeah. It's wrong. I don't know why any of that had to happen. There was a couple other guys that you definitely could have cut that would have made less of an impact than cutting DeAndre Bembry. But
send Javon Carter.
I agree with you guys. Like, it definitely made him look worse. Like, I had, like, probably, like, 20 people text me today, and they're like, I've lost so much respect for James Harden today. It is unreal. I'm like, well, yeah, I mean, I'm like, that's kind of a pussy move, but, you know.
Bro, like, the biggest freaking Harden stan on Twitter, like, BGN, Bulls Got Next, he was even kind of slandering James Harden today. So, I don't know. Bad luck for Harden. Yeah,
but then immediately upon the deal being completed, he's like, LMAO, you guys let Harden and Embiid get teamed up. I'm like, all right, here we go.
I saw that. Yeah, he said, if the report is true that Harden wants to be traded to Philly 1 year after demanding to be traded to Brooklyn, I don't know if the same man is starting to get hard to defend him. Yeah. I mean, I feel like the entire public probably feels the same way about it, truthfully. But enough of that. The trade ended up going through. What are your guys' thoughts on the package that the Nets returned or got in return for him?
I love it. I really think it was a really good deal. I would have loved if we did this a little bit earlier so that we could have used the two first round picks that we got in the deal to flip and maybe unclutter that center position that we just cluttered up now that we have four centers on the roster. Overall, it's a very good package. You add defensive depth, you add a big body center, and you add, did I say shooting or defense? I lost myself. But either way, you had Seth Curry, who's one of the premier shooters in the league. You have Ben Simmons, who is one of the premier playmakers and defenders in the league. And then you get Andre Drummond, who has led the league in rebounds like four out of the last like six seasons. It's like it's a giant trade along with two first round picks. And you give up a guy who wants two guys who didn't want to be here. So like when you think about it, that's a steal. And Ben Simmons is under contract for like another four more years after this one. And he's still young. So, like, it's a great trade overall when you think about it, especially when Sean Marks' hand was forced. And like we said, he was scrambling to get a deal done. If that's what Sean Marks does when he's scrambling, like, my God. The guy's
Yeah, like, I think Ben Simmons definitely has gotten his fair share of criticism over the years. I don't think his play style was properly utilized in Philadelphia. Like, to keep it simple, like, Joel Embiid's like his own kind of like animal where he's just like able to like just create his own shot, get down low, get foul calls. But like they never really utilize his abilities properly. Like he's a great facilitator, great defender, but he's best surrounded by shooting. And you have three snipers, hopefully, with Joe Harris, Patty Mills, and Seth Curry. And you have two stars that can shoot the ball from anywhere on the court, and Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. I think it's like the ideal situation for him. Like, yeah, it's going to be tough. Like in playoff situations, they start like a hack a bend situation. In those cases, you can pick and choose the lineups and like kind of like just mix and match when you need to. And honestly, like if we want to play up against Milwaukee, Ben Simmons is the guy to guard Giannis. Like that's the guy you want.
Yeah, that's a huge part of this acquisition. It's like we never really had that one guy that we can trust to defend somebody's best player. Now we have that. Like, and Ben can guard 1 through 5. So it's just like you throw him at the other team's best player, regardless of who it is. And now it's perfect. And I feel like us running a lineup. By the way, this is probably where our Miles Turner interest came from, like at the last second, because once we got Ben Simmons, it's like that's like one of, besides like LaMarcus Aldridge, out of available guys, Miles Turner is probably the best person to put next to him. So it's just like if you were able to run a lineup, like we like running these death lineups where we run like no center. You have Ben Simmons as the only guy who needs to be in the painted area, and you have Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, and then like say like, just because Joe's hurt, you have Seth Curry and Patty Mills. Like, who's stopping it? That's it's going to be so fun with the way that we're going to be able to to utilize Ben. It's going to be a lot of fun, I think.
I think the Nets can really mix and match. Like Sean Marks talked today about playing certain guys in certain personnel groups against like certain matchups. I don't think the Nets have like a set 8 guy, let's say in the playoffs, to play in like a scenario. I think based on matchup, they can mix and match what like works best. Cause like just from like the center position, you know, LaMarcus Aldridge was like a jump shooting big. If Andre Drummond was like a big body that can get boards, Claxton was versatile that can switch onto any defender. You know, Griffin's like a little undersized, but he plays great defense. And then you have like anything you can do like in those situations. It's just like a perfect Swiss Army knife. You have Ben, you have Kyrie, you have shooters. It's like you have a lot of things you can do where like before you were limited with the guys that kind of did like the same redundant things.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I was pretty anti-James Harden, I would say, for the most part, the entire season. I think, just to put it lightly, I think the Nets got better not only in the long term with getting younger, getting players longer under contract for longer, players that want to actually be here, which is a huge piece. I think they also got better this year. You guys obviously have said how they gained all like the shooting, the rebounding, Ben Simmons is very underrated, and I think he should absolutely thrive in the Nets system. If he was putting up those kind of numbers with Embiid, who's not a shooter at all, and he was a three-time All-Star, two-time first-team All-Defensive player, he won Rookie of the Year, although controversial. Ben Simmons is no scrub, and I don't want to say it, but I can see Ben Simmons being the better player than James Harden as soon as like 1 to 2 years.
They were saying that like Harden's contract, like once he signs like this, I know he signed the 1 year like player option, but they're saying like his extension like may end up being Russell Westbrook like, because like the way he's dropped off from like last few years to this year, like I can see it. I don't know if he was dogging it this past year. Like I think like these next few weeks are going to be telling if he was like actually dogging it or if he actually took a drop off. But if like that's the case, like the way he's played, like I don't think it's like a finesse style like Durant Irving where he just like could be able to pull up anywhere. I think the Nets may have, yeah, like you said, the better player for the next like 4 to 5 years and like better contract overall.
Yeah, I agree. No, Bobby Marks was the one I said it on ESPN today. He said, I think it was like 2 or 3 years, he said James Harden is going to be viewed as the same kind of contract as Russell Westbrook and John Wall. He went on to say it'll be the worst contract in NBA history, and he was more so referring to if he does sign that Supermax, he'll be making $60 million at age 38. I did not say that wrong. $60 million at age 38. He's 33 right now, and he already seems to be slowing down. Stephen A. Smith went on to say this could be the worst day in Daryl Morey's career. So, I mean, obviously, this is from a Nets perspective. I'm sure Philly fans are psyched to have James Harden.
And they should.
I will tell you. Well, they should be.
Because pairing James Harden with Joel Embiid, like, the possibilities are endless. If James Harden goes back to his old self or even, like, improves from this version to even, like, from this, from where he's at right now to half of his old self. If he just moves up that percentage, the Philly is going to be scary. And that it's a big time move for them. It just, it might suck in a couple years down the line, but if they wanted to get rid of the Ben Simmons situation and give them a better chance to win a championship this year, this is what they did. And they did do that by acquiring James Harden, but we'll have to see how it all plays out. But I think at this point right now, it's a win-win for both sides, but in a couple years, based on how each player is performing, then we'll have to revisit it and see.
I think the Nets really do have a tampering charge case, though. I don't know if they can actually make it, considering they actually made the trade. But I wonder how this plays out if the Nets decide to do that, because there's definitely stuff behind the scenes that went on with this. Like, I know it's like the elephant in the room here. Like it's the way the NBA is now. Like, I don't know if the Nets get Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving or even James Harden in the first place without tampering. But here is a kind of a very clear-cut case. Could be the cookie-cutter case. We saw it with Lowry this summer and Lonzo with the Bulls and Heat. I don't know if the NBA is going to try to jump on this. I think, personally, it's just the way the league is now, and I don't think it really makes a lot of sense. But I wonder if the Nets try to get petty with them here and try to do something about it.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's just tampering in every deal that happens, and I don't think it's ever going away, personally. But the NBA can continue to try. I do have a hypothetical question for you guys. Say Ben Simmons he never sat out and was playing. Do you think this was a trade that the Philadelphia 76ers would still have wanted to do, or you think they only did it because Ben Simmons was out? And just to kind of feed into that, Brian Windhorst said he doesn't think there's a market for Kyrie Irving. He said no team would want Kyrie Irving just because of the fact that he is a free agent after this year. And he also said due to the contract issues and the amount of money James Harden will have to be paid, that there is not a very big market for James Harden either. And he did say there was about 7 to 8 teams that was calling Philadelphia about Ben Simmons.
I do think that the Ben Simmons thing is, I don't think it's like, I think that the media overhyped how low his value went. I think if that series doesn't happen, I think Ben Simmons maybe like overall, I think they probably would try to mix it up just considering they ran back the same team, I'd say like 5 to 6 years. I'm just ballparking. That's what I think it is. I think they might have done it anyway, just because, like, in terms of fit, I think you go with the better player, which is Embiid, and kind of just like do it. I don't think it would have been this like as like a we have to make this move now type of deal, but I do think they probably would have made a deal. Who knows if it's James Harden, maybe it's Bradley Beal, maybe it's I don't know about Damian Lillard because he's just like his own type of breed. Like Damian Lillard is like so far into like I don't know if you've seen the memes like I won't run away from the grind type of thing. And James Harden's like the complete opposite where it's like the, you know what I'm saying? Like it's like this you need a happy medium there.
Oh, I know what you're saying. I tweeted out who's James Harden getting traded to next season.
Can you imagine? I'd love that.
Yeah. I think that this is probably the best possible player they could have gotten in a Ben Simmons trade. Like I feel
But are you saying that because he wasn't playing? So if he was playing, do you think they would still have done the trade?
I mean, if
I know it's a pretty big hypothetical, but
Ben Simmons who's a bigger name than James Harden that would be available.
For Simmons, no one.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I mean, like, I guess the Dame conversation probably would have been there, but in reality, the Blazers aren't going to trade him for anything.
Russell Westbrook.
I think this is the best possible situation for both teams, given what's happened with both guys over this year.
I think the Nets, if in a perfect world, if there was no, like, let's say hypothetically Harden doesn't, like, say I want Philly, they probably could have gotten a better player. But considering the circumstances, like the free agency and him probably going to Philadelphia inevitably, like he wasn't going anywhere else besides Philly. Like you couldn't really like test the markets because no team's trading for 3 months of James Harden. Like it makes no sense. Like there was no team that was like one piece away with enough cap to do that and then run the risk of losing him outright.
See, I'm going to disagree there. I think that even if it was kind of an open market, I think this was the best package and that's what I got in the league. I think Ben Simmons is very underrated. I know obviously he can't shoot the ball at all. But, I mean, I'm pretty sure in his career he averages like 16, 8, and 8 roughly. Yeah. And he's a top 5 defender in the NBA.
Yeah.
So,
you also got to think about the other pieces. Drummond is a nightly 20-20 threat, which is wild.
He was a star 5 years ago. Like, I know he's not that now. Yeah. But, like, he's not that far off. Public perception changes a lot of guys. I know Cody's, like,
UConn represent, baby. Huskies, UConn.
It's wild. He's only 28 because he feels like he's been in the NBA. He's literally been in the NBA for like a decade. He's 28.
and then Seth Curry is averaging 15 points a game on 43% shooting, like from three, and he's averaging 4 assists per game. So he's having the best year of his career. We got him. We got Ben Simmons, and we have Andre Drummond. Who all these guys could stuff the stat sheet, and they fill all the needs that we really needed. Like our only issue with Nick Claxton and why guys wouldn't want to play him is just because like if Claxton has to guard Embiid, he's going to just get bullied all night. But like now you don't have that issue. You have LaMarcus Aldridge and Andre Drummond if you feel that Nick Claxton won't be able to hold his own against in those positions.
Yeah.
Like, that's why
a Nets Sixers playoff series needs to happen at this point. Like the NBA needs to rig the standings or anything just to make it happen. I don't know if we do. It's so like versatile right now. It's very like we'll wait and see. But that'll be like I'm guaranteeing you there's not going to be a single playoff game on NBA TV in that series. They're all going to be ESPN and TNT. They'll save those like NBA TV games for like, I don't know, like the Cavaliers probably or like something like the Grizzlies. No disrespect.
You know, gate Karis and Jarrett to NBA TV. What are you doing?
By the way, if the Nets, like whatever happens, I'm rooting for the Cavs, like my second team this year, just because of those two guys.
Yeah, I agree. I think a lot of Nets, like real Nets fans and not James Harden stans are on the same page.
Not trying to be disrespectful, but James Harden fans, you can go to Philadelphia. We're not going to miss you that much. Sorry. There's a couple nice ones that I'm friends with, but like other than that, for the most part, like, get out of here.
You know, as soon as the trade happened, I looked and I lost like 15 Twitter followers immediately.
Bro, I'm gonna be honest. I have like this follower monkey, and like I get told whenever someone unfollows me, I probably lost 150 followers today. But luckily, I negated that with gaining about 450 the other way. So like I was still up close to 300. But like,
was there Ben Simmons stands? Is there Ben Simmons Twitter accounts?
Yeah, all the Ben Simmons stands need to come
through. Bro, I don't know. Like I'm gonna be honest, my Twitter notifications like these last couple of days have been insane. Like I had a tweet go over 20,000 likes today, and like my phone when I would go on Twitter was literally freezing. Like I tweeted out the Instagram posts that Kevin Durant liked about James Harden wanting to be traded. And like, I could not get into Twitter because it had like 95 quote tweets in under like 5 minutes. I had to delete it because I literally could not use the app. I deleted the tweet.
Oh yeah, people were like bitching, like, why'd you delete it?
Bro, like my phone was not working. That's why I deleted it.
But we have to be fair, we have we have a whole continent supporting us now. The continent of Australia is a Nets continent.
True.
Like, I'm just saying.
That's what I'm saying. I was like, yo, I was hoping we could get Matisse in the trade too, just for that. I'm like, okay, so then that means Joe Ingles is for sure a Net this season.
I'm like, we probably have like
a whole NBA Australian team over.
There's Ingles, there's Thibault that are on the Nets. Then you have Mills, Kyrie, Simmons. Is there any other NBA Australians?
There's got to be a few more, but
yeah.
I was hoping that Thibault would come just for that. I'm like, okay, cool, more shooting. Joe Ingles is coming this offseason, no doubt.
Who was that center that was from Australia that had like the headache, head trauma in the Olympics?
Oh, geez, I have no idea.
Aaron Baines.
Yeah.
We've had the opportunity
to get Aaron Baines
multiple times.
Was Splitter Australian or no?
Who?
Our assistant coach, Thiago Splitter. I want to say he was.
I think he is, but I'm not positive.
Sorry, it's a little sidetracked there. I was just kind of getting going off. But like the Nets, if they want to gain some fans, we have the concept.
He's a Brazilian.
Honestly, like, it sucks looking at the whole grand scheme of things, like making that initial trade. But if you think about it, like, I just wanted to put this perspective into it. We lost 4 firsts and 3 swaps at Houston. Those swaps are most likely not happening because Houston's going to have worse draft picks. They're not going to want to take worse draft picks from the Nets. So let's, like, say like, at least 2 out of 3 of those, to be safe, are going to be nothing. And you recoup 2 out of 4. So draft pick-wise, you really didn't get that depleted from the Harden deal. And you swap Allen and LeVert for Simmons, Curry, Drummond. I say it's comparable enough where it's like you're not killing yourself over it. Like, you know what I mean? I think overall it sucks losing Harden considering like the potential. But from the grand scheme of things, you really didn't lose a whole lot. Like where it's like we just got fleeced. You know what I mean?
I'm going to be honest. I didn't want Harden to get a max contract by the Nets because of the fact he'd be making $60 million at age 38. So I'm very happy that this trade happened.
Yeah.
Given the way it went down, like you never want it to happen like that, but I think it's a blessing in disguise. And I just want to give you guys a couple other stats on who they got. So Seth Curry, I saw this from Nets Daily. The Nets now have 2 of the 5 best 3-point shooters of all time. Top two are Steve Kerr, 45%, Hubert Davis, 44%. Then we got Joe Harris at third at 43.9%. Drazen Petrovic at 4th, and then Seth Curry is 5th. So that is not just this season. That is not just active players. That is of all time. And then Drummond.
Was he 6th?
I think Drummond is a huge addition besides the fact that he's from UConn, because the Nets play in a conference that has Nikola Vukovic, Bam Adebayo, Joel Embiid, Giannis Antetokounmpo. I could keep going. Ton of bigs. The Nets have never really had an answer for them. And while no, Andre Drummond is not going to shut out or shut down Joel Embiid, I'm not saying that, but he's at least a big body that could bang on the boards with him. He averages 13.4 rebounds per game over his entire career. The Nets are currently 14th in team rebounding, which isn't great, obviously. And Drummond is currently 1st in the NBA in per 36 minutes rebounding with 17.3, and he's 10th all time in his career. So, like, the Nets got Ben Simmons, who is a former All-Star with a ton of potential that is still young, and 2 players that are elite at what they do, and what they do are exactly what the Brooklyn Nets needed to make their team better. So I'm very ecstatic for the trade. I know people want Matisse Thybulle or Tyrese Maxey, and yes, they're young, great players with big futures, but I think given the circumstances, Sean Marks did really well. And saving the picks, at first I was pretty mad. I was thinking, oh, they got to flip these picks, like get rid of Claxton. They have too many centers. But the more I thought about it, if it doesn't work this year and they need to address anything, they won't have cap space, obviously, assuming Kyrie Irving takes his player option. So the Nets will at least have those picks to trade to try to get some assets if need be. We kind of saw how important it was at this trade deadline. So if Marks has those picks for an entire season up to the trade deadline, maybe even the offseason this year, he'll have a lot more time to get what the Nets need, and I think it could be beneficial in the long run.
I have a quick prediction.
Yes.
Joe Harris is no longer a Brooklyn Net by the trade deadline next season.
I mean, that's like a lot can happen. I think it depends on his health this year, how the season ends. I mean, a lot of guys cannot be Brooklyn Nets next year.
By next season, I have a strong feeling we bring in Joe Ingles this offseason. And then we have those two picks. We could defer the pick for this year to next year. So that means we would have two first-round picks and Joe Harris, right, his salary to flip next year. And that's that could lead to a big upgrade, especially if Joe and
one quick point on that. Utah kind of did Joe Ingles dirty by trading him when he got hurt.
Yeah, they did.
He understood, though. He said, I saw some article. He said, like, he kind of understood that was going to happen. He's, like, open to re-signing there if, like, the opportunity presents itself.
Yeah, well, he better not. He's a Net now.
I mean, the thing with three-point shooting is you can really – you don't need to sign a guy at three-point shooting to $18 million a year, which I think Joe Harris gets. Yeah, like, you really can find cheap options.
Coming on a minimum.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, you get guys from small deals and it works.
Yeah.
I think after the trade deadline, obviously the next big thing is the buyout market. You guys think the Nets are going to be looking to get anyone?
No.
I personally, like, I'm pretty sure they have their rosters full. Like, and Joe Tsai, Sean Marks pretty much made it clear they don't want to have to pay anyone to buy them out, whether it's Jabon Carter or anyone of that sort that will cost more money. And I think that's why we lost Bembry today, because he was the cheapest guy to get rid of.
Well, my thing is you're going to have to clear another roster spot if you want Kessler Edwards to be on the full-time roster. And I feel like with cutting Bembry, you kind of need him to be a full-time member of the roster. So yeah. I feel like somebody else has to go, and I'm just not exactly sure who that's going to be.
I think the next guy is James Johnson over Carter, just because, like, the deal and the years.
Yeah, and if you can cut James Johnson, you could bring in and you could just convert Kessler to a full-time contract, then I feel like we're in a perfect spot. We don't need anything else on the buyout market.
Yeah.
Oh,
one last thing.
Speaking of buyout market, I've thought about Blake Griffin and how we got him on the buyout. Blake Griffin and Andre Drummond are reunited now.
True.
Oh, yeah.
Nice little callback. Maybe that's a
future. I remember we wanted Drummond last year after the Cavaliers buyout.
Yeah. Yeah, didn't work out.
Bro, I've wanted Drummond forever, but you guys know why.
Come on, woohoo. Okay.
There's some interesting quotes from Steve Nash following the game tonight. I usually don't do this, but it kind of goes along with the Nets' new players. So Steve Nash, this is coming from Alex Schiffer of The Athletic. Steve Nash said he met all three of the new players. I'm assuming it would be through video chat because obviously he was in Washington. But he said he spent the most time with Ben Simmons, which is an underrated aspect of how much Steve Nash, even though he gets a ton of heat, and Kyle Korver and that coaching staff, besides Kevin Durant, could really help Ben Simmons. Steve Nash also said that Seth Curry and Andre Drummond will likely join the team in Miami, but is not sure if they will play. He said he's more unsure of Simmons, who has a longer ramp up than the other two, but the performance staff will decide how long the ramp up is. I don't know. Scoop B reported that Ben Simmons will be going to Miami on the road trip with the Nets. I'm assuming he won't be playing. They didn't specify, but I would be very, very surprised if he's playing. I think he's more so just traveling with the team being acclimated. But Steve Nash said he was excited to get the new pieces incorporated and move on from all this drama that's been going on. So
I'm excited too. I can't blame him. Oh, I can't blame him one bit. It's definitely a very exciting time because it's just like the possibilities are endless and we have no idea like how exactly everything's going to fit, but it's still like, We're pretty confident that like all the Nets issues kind of just got solved at one time. And now all we need is health. So hopefully like we get to a point where like we get Seth Curry and Drummond integrated within the next few games. And then within like a few weeks, maybe right after the All-Star break, we could fully have like Ben Simmons, Kyrie Irving, and Kevin Durant all share the floor together. And then depending on Joe Harris's status, maybe we get all of them together around the same time and really just use these final 2 months of the season to gel before we go into the playoffs.
I got one more quote for you. Since you just said that Blake Griffin and Andre Drummond are reunited, Blake Griffin said in press conference after the game, you look up the end of the first quarter and he's got 12 and 10 talking about Andre Drummond. So yeah, okay. Blake might be happy to play. He also said I got better, and he called Drummond a monster down low, while Curry gives them more shooting and Simmons is a great talent.
It's crazy. He also said we definitely got what we wanted, guys that want to be here, that want to play.
Yeah.
He must have been really doggy in that locker room, because like for Patty Mills to make a comment, Blake Griffin, like guys that are like professionals. It's like insane.
AD said something similar, I believe.
He said something like, did you guys watch that All-Star draft? That was so funny.
I was in class, but I heard it was pretty great.
The clips are insane. I recommend watching. It's a 6-minute clip of the entire thing.
I watched
like that. They both didn't pick Durant. Like, and they weren't both picking Harden. It was like LeBron was losing it, hiding himself on a clipboard. It was so fun. I knew LeBron was gonna do it too. Like, it was like such a
it came down to Rudy and the final two picks, and literally Ernie, or it was Kenny set him up. He's like, KD, I think you need size. I think you need some size. And Katie's just like, yeah, I think I do need some size. I'll take Rudy Gobert. And LeBron just covers his face with his clipboard. It was so funny. Oh
yeah. Yeah, like that was great. I think it's funny how like NBA stars don't respect Rudy Gobert at all. But the fact that it came down to that and he still took Rudy Gobert was just so funny.
And it was also What did he say? Oh, KD was trying to trade for Darius Garland from Team LeBron, and LeBron says, "You sure you haven't made enough trades today?"
Yeah, I love when LeBron asked if James Harden was healthy, and you just hear Chuck go, "Of course he's healthy. He's got traded. He'll be suiting up next game. He's got that icy hot going."
Shout out Chuck and his sponsorships.
True. Yeah, so before we get into the game tonight and then the game that happened on Tuesday, I guess the Nets played Tuesday. I don't know, I didn't see it, but whatever. Did you guys see the reports that James Harden and Kevin Durant were kind of feuding or didn't agree on the culture of the team or the direction of the team, and that's kind of what led to some of the frustrations?
I did see them. I don't want to believe it all.
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, like, I just don't want to believe everything that's coming out, because like it could have been like one small thing, and you ask one guy within the organization, he's like, oh yeah, they were beefing for a couple months or something. Like, you know, it's just like I don't want to believe all the stuff that's coming out, because a lot of stuff has come out. They're like, apparently James Harden had an issue with Kyrie Irving burning sage too now. So like, I don't know, like that was a thing last year. So like, I don't know, it's, I don't want to believe everything, but I did see it, and I'm not going to say that they're not true, but it's just like, oh, well.
Daryl Morey just tweeted out, welcome to the Sixers at J Harden 13. He posted a YouTube clip titled James Harden's top 30 plays of his NBA career. You know what? I will make a bet right now that none of his plays from this season are in that YouTube video. That's how far James Harden has fallen, Daryl Morey. You'll see. But anyways.
By the way, Kobe, this just came out. Kyrie Irving on James Harden. And I quote, I'm not here to judge him. I'm not here to talk down on James. I just want him to be happy. I just want everyone in this league to be happy. So no ill will.
What a horrible guy that Kyrie Irving person is, man. Like,
they're truly
horrible. The media's right. Kyrie's a devil. He's horrible. Like, I don't know, man. We got to get him out of here next, I think. He's just not a great person, and we can't stand for that in Brooklyn. But I'm very happy that Kevin Durant still seems locked in. I mean, he was on the Nets bench cheering, being engaged at the end of this game against the Wizards tonight. I was a little concerned. I didn't know how tight him and James were. And obviously, if they were, you never want to see your good friend leave your team. But I don't think it should be an issue. Kevin Durant seemed pretty happy at the direction of the Nets. As Nick, I don't know how to say his name, Friedel from the ESPN Nets beat reporter, he said that this team is like 100% Kevin Durant's team. There's no way he didn't approve of this. So I don't think there should be any issues going forward. And it's nice to put this in the rearview mirror and actually focus on basketball again. As crazy as it is, a basketball team can finally focus on playing basketball again.
Well, I don't want to focus on this basketball. This basketball sucks.
Yeah, I mean, the Celtics game on Tuesday, the game started out 28-2. The Nets had about 17 guys out. That's all we have to talk about so we can move on.
Let's go. We have to remind everybody, the game did start off, 28-2?
Yeah, 28-2. Although Javon Carter hit 7 threes that game. So the Javon Carter slander.
He was trying to up his trade value, and Marks didn't take advantage.
Javon Carter slander might be coming to an end, but
he didn't look too bad tonight either.
I'm saying the Nets, like, they lost the game. Obviously, they ended up losing by 1, but I was encouraged that they actually tried. I mean, I know Washington made some trades today. They didn't have Bradley Beal. They lost Dinwiddie. They traded Montrezl Harrell, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So they were incredibly shorthanded. You look at their lineup. Corey Kispert, Thomas Bryant, Neto, Caldwell Pope, and Kuzma. And then Gil, Hachimura, Avija, I don't know how to say his name, and Winston. Like, that's a horrible team, and the Nets lost, which isn't great. But the Nets are also missing 6 or 7 guys that are going to either start or be one of the first players off the bench. But the big thing is, the Nets competed. Cam Thomas, once again, looked absolutely incredible. He went 11 of 18 from the field, 36 minutes, 27 points. I saw a tweet, actually, that in the last 4 games, Cam Thomas is averaging 23 points per game on 51% from the field and 38% from 3. So his play has been one of the biggest takeaways recently. Once again, Blake Griffin looked good. He had 15 points, 9 boards, 3 assists in 27 minutes. Of course, he took another charge. It was his 24th of the season, which leads the NBA, which is incredibly impressive to me, especially because there is that stretch where he simply wasn't playing. But Blake Griffin, we know, will do whatever it takes to win. He's shown that time and time again. Mad respect for him. Patty Mills is quiet again. I feel like he's been kind of quiet recently. Nets played okay defense for the most part. I don't know. You guys got any takeaways? Obviously, the actual basketball analysis will be changing very soon because most of these guys will not be in the rotation, I would say, after the All-Star break. So anything we're watching now, it's frustrating. It sucks. The Nets lost 10 in a row. They don't want to lose. They keep falling down the standings. But if we remain patient, it's only going up from here, and I think it's going way up to close the season. As Charles Barkley said today, the Nets won't be afraid of anyone, no matter what seed they are come the playoffs.
Yeah, and he's completely correct. Today's game was pretty good, all things considered. But the Celtics game wasn't great. Just another one of those losses, up to 10 games now in a row. But overall, I mean, a lot of guys showed a lot of heart tonight. And it's like these guys know changes are coming, and they it almost felt like tonight they wanted to, like, move on into the next chapter of the season. Like, a lot of these guys played with a lot of heart, and it was fun to watch. It was just like the Nets played good basketball. They just let up like a 17-3 run at one point, and it was just hard to climb back from. And on the final possession, when the Nets are down 3, they keep clawing back, and Cam Thomas hits an and-one 3-pointer to get us back into the game. And then we get a stop. We're able to come back up the floor, and Kyrie Irving then gets triple teamed. So it was just like, that just shows you the state of the Nets right now. It's just Kyrie Irving's basically the only one out there. with that will attract attention from a defense. And it's just like, you couldn't get a clean shot off, right? And Cam Thomas just had to chuck up like a 35 footer to try to tie the game and send us to overtime, but just didn't work out that way.
One thing I do want to throw in before you go, Anthony, that foul by Patty Mills when he pretty much ripped, I don't even remember who it was, and the guy fell on the ground and Patty Mills kind of like jumped over his back. That was a horrendous foul. And it was, the shot clock was down and I'm pretty sure he made both free throws. But anyways, good effort by the Nets and there's brighter days coming, I think, starting as soon as Saturday when we get Curry and Drummond out there and hopefully Simmons will be out coming in soon. Ramona Shelburne said he's incredibly excited. He texted her saying finally, and that he already spoke to Kevin Durant, and that was right when the trade went down. So I think Simmons is going to be coming to prove people that he can still play basketball at a very high level and contribute to a championship team. Anthony, what are your takeaways on the games?
I thought the game was just disgusting. Like, don't even want to talk about that game. It didn't happen. And it's Freedom hit a three in her mouth. He got waived since, but like, just no. I think the game today was frustrating. Obviously, they didn't come out to win. Kyrie Irving played well. My biggest takeaway is that Cam Thomas is a stud. Like, I know we've been saying it all year, but like, he's really putting some consistent basketball together. So I think that's the biggest thing that stuck out to me. I think a lot of the players, like seeing these post-game quotes, are happy this burden lifted off of them. I think you said getting Curry and Drummond back Saturday, Simmons and Durant over the next couple weeks, hopefully Harris and Aldridge soon, hopefully Kyrie's status, a lot of like question marks to come. And then you start putting some W's together because they've lost 10 in a row now. It's not really ideal. I'm going to give him a pass today because it really was a crazy day, so I'm not going to hold it to him. I know the Wizards kind of like had their whole team decimated too, so like you would like to win this game. Miami's going to be tough. I'm not going to say we're going to win it, but I think it's going to be a few more of these type of games. But I think there's light at the end of the tunnel. I don't think they're going to finish in a great seed based on just what's happened the last 2 weeks. But I like the way we match up against anybody, and I really think this team can make a run if they get everyone back together and get some stride and some chemistry.
Yeah. I know we kind of guessed what seed we thought the Nets would finish in a while ago. I think it was like at the very beginning of this losing streak. They're currently in the 8th seed. They are 6.5 back of the Miami Heat now, who they play on Saturday. They're 1.5 back of Toronto. They're 2.5 back into getting the 6 to avoid the play-in tournament, which I don't want to deal with a play-in tournament personally. I'm sure the Nets don't. But what seed do you guys think you could see the Nets climbing themselves up to? I don't think anyone expects them to fall behind Charlotte or Atlanta or Washington, but what do you guys think?
No clue right now. I'm not going to lie. I have no clue. I need some more like certainty going forward. I'm not going to guess right now.
Fair enough.
I say we could still climb up to the 3.
Yeah, I could. I mean, yeah. All
these, like if we just catch up to like, we're like probably like 4 games behind that clutter from 1 to 6. So like, I think I had said 3 earlier in the year, or I might've said 2, but I still think we could climb up to like 3, just because we're not that far behind that giant group that's all within 1 game of each other, 1 through 5 or 1 through 6.
I think the Nets can 100% at the bare minimum get to 6. They're only 2.5 back in Toronto. But then Philly, they're 3.5 back. And then the next jump is 4 in Cleveland, where they're 5 back. So but it'll be interesting to see. Obviously, it starts this Saturday in Miami. Kyrie Irving will be eligible to play, and I'm excited to see the new guys play. Very excited. Drummond, Curry, Mills, Thomas, maybe Claxton comes back. I think they said that his hamstring is doing better now that he hasn't been traded, so yeah, exactly. Hopefully we'll see some Claxton on Saturday as well. Joe, you've been very arrogant all year. You've been pretty quiet tonight. I'm surprised, but you still are in first place. So
by a lot, right?
Yeah, by a decent amount. But we don't got to go into all of those details, Joe. No,
we'll go into it. I have 19. Cody has 14, and Anthony is at 15. Sorry.
Yeah. So Joe's in first, but So we're going to pick Saturday at Miami and Monday at home against the Sacramento Kings. The new look Sacramento Kings, I should say. Sorry. With Domantas Sabonis. But Joe, you're in first. Go ahead and pick.
Oh, man. Okay. Saturday away at the Heat, I will take a loss. And at home against the Kings, I'm also going to take a loss.
Oh, boy. Joe's predicting a 12-game losing streak, and I feel like you've predicted a loss for, like, the last 8 games or something crazy.
It's been, like, it's been 8 out of the last 10 that we've lost, I've predicted.
You make me sick. Anthony?
I'm going to go loss.
You also make me sick. You know what? Screw it. You guys are lame. I'm hyped. I'm hyped about the new players. I'm going win-win. Okay. I'm going to fall behind by even farther, but it's fine. I've decided.
Cody, by the end of the week, you can literally be down 7 behind me.
Or I could be only 3. So how about that?
That's true. It's still like fuck.
Anything else you guys want to talk about? I mean, I don't know about you, but this week has just been absolutely crazy for me. I can't wait to sleep well, sleep in, not worry about waking up and missing something going on.
Yeah. For real. It was quite interesting. I woke up this morning, I drove home from Atlantic City for 2 hours, quite hungover, and then James Harden got traded, and I've been freaking out for the rest of the day. So it's been quite interesting.
Sounds about right.
Yeah. No, I got nothing else. So I'm excited. That's all I really have. I'm just very, very excited. Even though I think they're probably still going to lose the next 2 games just because guys are getting acclimated and one of them is at home. I'm very excited.
Yeah, I would say the hope and excitement is back with Nets fans, hopefully with the Nets team. We've kind of repeated all night. It's a new direction with new hope. Everyone's buying in. So excited to see what the future holds. Anthony, you got anything else?
No, I think we're done. Thanks.
All right. Once again, this was the Sports Ethos Nets podcast with Cody, Anthony, and Joe. Thank you for tuning in. Please like, comment, subscribe, interact with us. And as always, let's go Nets. Big 2-game win streak coming from our Brooklyn Nets. Let's go.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
I'm not exactly a tech genius, but I knew one thing for sure. If I wanted my small business to crush it, I needed a website that worked like a pro, and I needed it yesterday. Lucky for me, Bluehost made it ridiculously easy. With their AI design tools, building my website was a walk in the park. I could customize, optimize, and monetize everything exactly how I wanted. In just a few minutes, I had a secure site up and running. I couldn't believe how straightforward it was. And getting found online? Bluehost helped me with that, too. I perfected my keywords and meta descriptions with their search engine tools. The AI even gave me suggestions to improve my pages. Now I can sit back, relax, and focus on my customers, while my website continues to rank higher and higher on Google. With their 30-day money-back guarantee, I wasn't worried about taking the plunge. And now I'm so glad I did. Head over to Bluehost.com and build something special today.